Now, I don't know much about wine, but I know what I like. And the trouble with wine, really, is that, well, maybe there's too much to know. There's a helpful paradox there, though, that maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's the like that really counts. We are blessed, however, that there are experts out there, men and women in whom we can place trust. Chris Morrison is one. He's a sommelier with more than 20 years' experience, and he's written a book. It's about wine, and it's intriguingly titled, This Is Not a Wine Guide. Chris, welcome.
Thank you, mate. Nice to be with you.
Nice title.
Thank you. Yeah, I can thank my wife for that one, actually.
If it's not a wine guide, what is it exactly?
When I first started to think about the book, it came out of a conversation that I had with a lot of my friends who are kind of everyday drinkers, and they just really didn't have a place to start. Hmm. Most people enter the wine industry or the wine experience today at a different level than perhaps you or I did, and they didn't really have a manual, I guess you could say, to help them not just learn about wine, but sort of take in the diversity in the industry now that has grown exponentially, and the importance of restaurants, wine lists, and how to talk to sommeliers, because most of these guys are discovering wines through dining and food today, not just through books.
Let's go to your experience, because it's substantial as a sommelier. And I mean, how did that happen for you? How did you get that foot in the door?
I was kind of pushed through the door by my parents. I had a choice.
Good on them.
Yeah, no, I thank them now. I did it earlier because I was such a ratbag as a 19-year-old that my father said to me once that you're going to join the army or you're going to go work in a winery. He had a mate in Coonawarra who was working for Wolf Blass. And
okay.
I didn't really know much about wine, but based on the choices I had, I decided that wine was for me.
It's an interesting decision.
Yeah. So basically working for Wolf Blass through 1990 and 1991 mm-hmm. as a cellar hand, and I came back to Sydney and fell into restaurants. Money was, you know, easy. Work was hard, but it was fun. And the people I worked with were kind of like an adopted family. So it became a great place for me to start my career.
What's the most important thing in those 20 years that you learnt about wine, do you think?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say if I went back to when I first started was that texture and mouthfeel are more important than flavour and aroma when matching it with food.
Which is interesting because people, you know, swirl them around and give them a big sniff and whack their hooter in the glass. This is a scene for which we're all familiar.
Very much so.
And yet it's what comes next, you think, that's the key to that match.
Yeah, I think if you look at chefs and winemakers, they use a very similar toolkit in terms of taste and texture. When a chef builds a dish and when a winemaker creates a wine, they're using a very similar kind of set of tools. I think the sommelier's job is to be the conduit between the chef and the winemaker, and the restaurant is the place to tell that story. So the sommelier's approach needs to be one, first and foremost, that focuses on its customer service profession and that it is really about the person at the other end of the wine bottle all the time. So the most important thing that I learned was taste and texture, of course, but the right mindset about customer service.
Well, what are the keys to that? I mean, when you approach someone at a table, what are you looking for? What do your instincts tell you about that diner?
Yeah, I think for me, what I also learned, oddly enough, from working for the French for a long time over in London was learn to ask the right questions and you get the right answers.
I was going to say you probably learned to treat them with utter contempt.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. There's a story in the book about that where it took a while to get into the French sort of system over there in terms of sommeliers, and it's a real job over there. Like the guy I work for in one of the restaurants was like a fourth generation sommelier, but coming back home and I sort of started to think about where I wanted to be and where my career wanted to go, and understanding that when you approach a guest, it is about them. It's about the reasons why they're there, the company they're with, and what they're there to eat. So by asking the right questions, the idea is for me is to get all the right information so I can get them the right wine. Not the best wine, yes, but just the right wine.
And your conversation would start with the food, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Firstly, hospitality. It's like, how are you? You know, welcome.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's why, you know, is there an occasion you're here for? Are you thinking about food tonight? Are there wines you like to drink? Would you like to stay safe or would you like to take a little bit of a journey with me? Do you have a budget? Like all these things sort of comprise the picture I'm trying to build of a guest experience before I start talking about, do you want raspberries and cat's piss and your Sauvignon Blanc kind of stuff?
No cat's piss, please.
No.
Well, maybe.
No cat pee.
I guess there's a stage before this, of course, which is the conversation the sommelier has with the restaurateur about wine list, about how we're going to build this experience in this restaurant. Yeah. That must be an interesting collaboration.
It's a fantastic one. It's a really good point to make, actually, because recently there was the Australian Wine List of the Year Awards that Gourmet Traveller run, and there was so many great wine lists awarded, but this wine list award system now goes nationally, and it's got so many different ways of recognising that exact relationship. The amount of money that a restaurateur invests into their wine program, I guess you could call it, is significant. But in today's market, where the costs of running a restaurant are so high and the margins are so low, restaurants and wine are now inextricably linked for success. I mean, you need a successful wine program, I think, to make a successful restaurant.
Chris Morrison, a sommelier of considerable experience, and he has a new book. It's called This Is Not a Wine Guide, Blueprint here on our end. It's interesting. We think, Chris, a lot more critically, technically, I think, about food in recent years, and our habits and tastes around food evolve so quickly. How does wine keep up with that?
Yeah, I think Australia is a good example of that. I think we don't have the old world laws around appellation, for instance. We don't have that centuries old gastronomic history. I think what we have in Australia, obviously, is a very progressive and innovative food scene, but there's kind of no rules. We do what we want. We celebrate diversity in every way, but wine follows food in Australia. You go back in their short history, like 30, 35 years, fusion, you know, Asian ingredients or techniques, Australian produce, and the lightening and freshening of our Anglo diet a bit.
Yeah.
And then suddenly aromatic light-bodied wines became popular and were everywhere. You only fast forward Mediterranean, you know, that diet sort of took over, Spanish short course, tapas. Suddenly Mediterranean grape varieties are everywhere. And now it's with organic and natural and provenance, which chefs have been shouting about for decades. But now our winemaking community is celebrating that as well. So there's a real history where wine follows food in Australia. So I guess the book's premise is, if you want to sort of know what we're going to be drinking tomorrow, look at what we're eating today.
Really interesting thing. And like with our food, I mean, the great opportunity in this country, you know, you mentioned that more restrictive thing in say, France, where you have a really defined cuisine for a start. Mm. And yes, wine, which is steeped in so much tradition to accompany that. Here we take food from all over the place. We're so expansive. And suddenly too, just in this maybe the last decade or so, our thirst for new varieties and blends in wine has really gone through the roof.
Yeah, completely. And I think that reflects as you just said, that reflects the changing landscape of our food culture and this food revolution, if I can use those words, that has taken not just the idea of cooking and of produce and provenance, but the perspective and the toolkit of chefs and turned it into a kind of a digestible format on TV that people are now embracing that at home. So wine is starting to follow that. So people are sort of drinking at home more. I think when they go out into the wine sort of experience in restaurants and wine bars and that social environment, they're looking to spend a little bit more and drink better.
Yep.
But the idea that food, I think, is the cornerstone for the next opportunity for wine. I mean, wine can't be passive in this area either. I think wine needs to embrace the fact that I think the idea that the drinker in Australia will learn more about wine in the context of food is starting to arrive. And I think restaurants, chefs and sommeliers are right at the pointy end of that.
To take that back to where we began talking, that we're at the restaurant table, the sommelier approaches. I guess the worst thing you can be in that situation as a diner is to have a closed mind, whether that's through a certain sort of arrogance or trying to impress your guests. You know, that's something you must strike. You know, is how do you break through that in a gentle way in trying to guide that person.
Yeah, I think if we say that in the opening of the book, I mean, the idea is that a conversation around wine should generate excitement, not nervousness and fear. And I think that especially if you see a sommelier approaching you with a wine list, a lot of people are just scared stiff. Because, and you know what, I mean, a wine list is really just numbers and letters on a piece of paper. You still need a human being to bring it to life. A good wine list and a good wine program needs a heartbeat behind it.
Yes.
And I think that's a real opportunity for sommeliers to take that very moment you talked about, which for me is a defining moment between a good and a bad sommelier, is that first minute with a customer. Because all the effort that's gone into making the wine, all the money invested by the restaurateur and the money the customer's about to spend on their night out all comes down to sometimes.
Moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the moment. It's a seminal moment in kind of developing a restaurant's value proposition. So wine is an incredibly important part of that, as is the service of it. And I think the sommelier's opportunity is to take that and make it very relaxed, very casual, and give the customer real confidence.
What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you at that moment? What's a horror story?
There are so many. I don't know if you can pick this up on the speaker, but that, the snapping of the fingers.
Oh yes.
I still get that now and then. And
do when somebody does that to you?
It makes my blood boil. But I used to get called boy a bit. I don't know why, but I got called, excuse me, boy, when I was working in London. The idea, though, that I think a lot of people compensate for that nervousness and fear with aggression in that environment, and they tend to remove you as being the wine professional out of the conversation. Say, I know what I like. I know why I'm here, which is great. You know, if you're confident in your choice, I can get the wine for you, quick, smart, and go spend some time with someone else who wants to have a chat.
Is there, though, a sort of a mathematical relationship between the amount that someone says they know about wine and the amount that they don't?
In terms of a breakdown of percentage, yes. I would say that usually people who want to part with more money generally know a little bit less. I think a lot of I would say there's more budget's always something sensitive for people, and yes. I think it should be one of the things you should be very open in talking about. The best brief I ever got from someone was when I was working for Guillaume Brahimi, and we were at the Opera House. This was many years ago, and he came into the bar and he said, "Mate," he grabbed me by the sleeve and pulled me in and said, "Mate, I've got a really hot date and $100. Make me look good." And I was like, "No problem at all, sir." So I took care of him. You're on. And I don't know what happened afterwards, but hopefully it went well for him.
Chris, thank you so much. That is a
pleasure.
A wonderful insight into an often mysterious world. But look, you heard it there from a sommelier of great experience. That's a good approach. Chris Morrison is that man. 20 years in the game. His book is This Is Not a Wine Guide. It's in shops right now through Murdoch Books. Jonathan Green, bringing you the best of Blueprint for Living from 2017.